1 and 2, we're going to be reading the 4th chapter of Zechariah. It says in the first verse, "And the angel that talked with me came again and waked me, as the man that is waking out of his sleep, and said unto me, What seest thou? And I said, I have looked, and behold, a candlestick, all of gold, with a bowl upon the top of it, and his seven lamps thereon, and seven pipes to the seven lamps, which are upon the top thereof. And two olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl, and the other upon the left side thereof. So I answered and spake to the angel that talked with me, saying, What are these, my Lord? Then the angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, Knowest thou not what these be? And I said, No, my Lord. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And we was reading this this morning, and we was imagining if we, as Zechariah here, would have had that dream, and how we would have try to understand it or interpret what it would mean by those golden candlesticks. We know when we think of a candlestick, we think of something made of wax. But we know that in this day that it was more of a lamp than it was, as it were, a candle. Candlesticks, that they burn oil in them. And we would have probably tried to figure what the significance of and the fact that there was seven of them. That come up from this golden candlestick, and yet we find the angel of the Lord telling the prophet here that what all this meant was is not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And I begin to see or begin to think upon what is the worth of a candlestick, an oil lamp. We had the power go off at our house, and it went out. I guess it was for almost 4 hours, and we found ourselves there and sitting in the house, and the house was dark, and we got out on the porch. It was about 8 o'clock, and there was still yet enough light, and we had family devotions there on the porch, and we come back in the house, and it was just as we was finishing up family devotions, if the chapter had been another 10 verses long, we wouldn't have been able to read it because it was getting so dim. And we went in the house, and we take it for granted. We just turn on a light, and the room is illuminated. You can go into town, and there's places in town that they work around the clock 24 hours. And to be in an office, you wouldn't know whether it was daytime outside or not, because of the wonderful lights that we have. But it wasn't always that way. There was a time when people read by a candle or read by a lamp, and they struggled to see the words that they read. And if you lived in an environment where when it got dark, you went to bed. When it got dark, unless you was a wealthy person, you didn't have the money to spend on candles or on olive oil. When somebody would begin to tell you about a vision they see, and that it was a lamp, but it was not a lamp of one single point of light, but that it had seven of them, you begin to get a picture in your mind of how bright it must have been to be in the presence of this candlestick. But you know, just like when it gets dark, my wife went around the house, and we've got these little oil lamps. And you can have an old lamp, and it can be created to be beautiful. We don't have any in our house that are golden, but there's some that have chrome on them. Some of them that are brass plated. They'll be glass, and they'll have carvings in it, or the sandblasting or etching of the glass to where it's beautiful. But without any oil in it, it's really just for looks. And I'm afraid today, the Lord began
begin to speak to me. And he asked me, Darrell, are you just for looks? It's not by might, and it's not by power. This is good to know for us that are getting old. Why? Because it don't take these old hands. It don't take these feet. But what it takes is His Spirit. I like what it says, I believe. I can't remember in what a book, maybe it's in Micah, talking about that the Spirit of the Lord is power and might. Glory to God. That's what we need today. We need more of God to be filled with Him. The Bible said there was two olive trees. Well, the Bible teaches me it was olive oil. He used to read a little bit further down of the old prophet saying, oh, who are these trees? Oh, what are these trees? And we ain't go ask him, don't you know? And he said, no. He said, these are the two anointed ones at the throne of God. For they had branches going in this candlestick. We've got an endless supply. We would sometimes say, where is the olive oil? But God has got source right there at the throne of God. And it's an endless supply. I don't have to see that my jar is filled. For there's a tree that grows by it with a branch. And when the Lord, just as He provides the rain and the sun to cause the trees to grow, He is the one that supplies that Spirit. Sometimes we try to break it down. You know what? My wife makes some kind of coffee cake. Potatoes, I love them, but they kind of make me feel sick. But we had some anyway, and then we had that coffee cake. You know, it was pretty good. But if you break it down and dissect it and begin to eat the ingredients of that coffee cake, it wouldn't taste too good. One by itself, and then another, and then another. Sometimes I'm afraid as a church, we try to break it down. Listen, it ain't by might, and it ain't by power, but it is by the Spirit of the Lord. But I want to be a vessel. How then can you be a vessel? Oh, you know what you can do. I think I remember reading this in one of my old trapping manuals. Men would go out. They'd go out in the Canadian north. And they would go and live for 9 months at a time. And they'd trek in there on their feet. They wouldn't have a horse. And everything they needed was on their back. That which they would be able to use. And then that which they would be able to obtain out there in the wilderness. But I believe there was a man that he didn't bring with him enough kerosene for his lantern. And he was running out. Oh, you know what he did? He put water. He put water in there because it would make the oil float to the top. And he still was able. I don't want to be a Christian that's got to water down a world's version of the Spirit of God. I want to be filled with it, because when this world begins to rock to and fro, listen, if your oil's floating on top of water, it's going to get all sloshed around and your light will go out. But thanks be to God, He said there is an endless supply. He is that branch of Jesus Christ Himself, the one that is the light in this world. And if we ever need it, it is in the dark days that we live in today. You know, you can get away. I got up this morning, or through the night anyway, and I looked outside. We burnt some trash, some boxes and stuff out of the barn, and we burnt some string, and it has a way of burning for a long time. And I got up in the middle of the night, and I wanted to see if I could still see some glowing down there in that fire. And listen, we had a bright moon last night because I looked out there. I seen the dogs way down there near the barn and the cats walking around. Why? Because the moon was out. You know, there's days, there's phases of the moon, there's generations, no doubt, that aren't as dark as others. But listen to me. I don't care what generation you are, you need a light. And there are darker days than some. And in those darker days, you appreciate that light all the more. But it seems like people are content to look and say, look at my candlestick, ain't it pretty? Look, I painted flowers on it. But it's what's inside that matters. You know, a candlestick really is worthless. You say, no, it's not. It's made of gold. I want to tell you, in the dark, no man sees what it's made of. It's really worthless for what it was created for, unless it has that oil in it. And God has given us an endless supply. There's no need. There's no need to turn it down. You know, I can remember when we had the ice storm, and gas was high, and not as high as it was now. We had spent some money, and I forget how much we were spending a day on gasoline, and we bought some kerosene, and there for a while you couldn't even get any in town. And I can remember there sitting around the table, and the kids were so excited, and we had some candles burning, and we had an old lamp, and it was burning, and I kept on feeling the need to turn it down. Why? Because the further you turn it up, the more oil it uses. But listen, church, we've got an endless supply. We've got a tree to our right, and we've got a tree to the left. And all we've got to do is turn it up. Let it shine. And it might draw the world. I want to tell you, I'm not the best at that. Sometimes you meet people out in the world, and you just see how they need the Lord. But you don't know what to say. You just want to invite them into church. And when you do, they'll give you a reason. But listen, He wants us to shine not only in here, but He wants us to shine the light. Turn it up. We have an endless supply. We are useless without that running through that candlestick. Let us not be content to add a little bit of water so that the old level might rise. But let us, each and every one, cry out to the Lord. Because this supply that we see comes right from the throne of grace.
Right.
My God is a God that can move mountains. Listen, it's not by might nor power, but that's not to say we serve a puny or a weak God. We don't. It's not by my mind and it's not by my power. But glory to God, if we trust in Him and His Holy Spirit, we can see His might and His power deliver us just like it did with the three Hebrew children. You know, sometimes we have to go through tests and tribulations in this life. But if we keep our eyes focused on Him, we'll see that He'll carry us through. You know, we live in a culture where, you know, and I'm just as bad, but we heard about people today. They was complaining a little bit about a microwave we got there out there in the pavilion because it's not a very powerful one. You know why they complain? Because it's not a powerful one, so it takes longer, but it's still a microwave. You know, you can boil water in it a whole lot quicker than you can on the stove. But see, that's how sport we are. We want a minute rice in 2 seconds. You remember when they talk about minute rice? Ready in a minute, we're just getting as good as the old stuff. Well, we went far beyond minute rice. We want it in 2 or 3 seconds. And compl- complain if it ain't ready. I complain if it's too hot. I complain if it's cold in the middle. Listen, that's just the way this generation is today. But listen, it's still true. Good things come to those that wait on God. We need to learn patience sometimes. And we can do that. And we declare to the Lord and to the world, I know, God, it's not by might, not by my might or my power, but by the Holy Ghost. God, make me a candlestick that'll shine in this dark world. Lord, run your branches all over me and around me and in me, that I might have an endless supply. Lord, that when the world comes, some with their shins and their knees and their elbows boogered up from falling in the dark, we can wash their wounds in the light of His love and rejoice that we don't have to tremble in the dark. You know, it's funny how some children are. But for whatever reason, my daughter, she, I don't know if it's because she's got two brothers that scared her. I mean, she's got a, we've not had to deal with this with the two boys yet. But she kind of, she doesn't like the dark. Sometimes in the middle of the night, she'll get up and she'll say it's dark. Which I was well aware of because I was sleeping pretty sound with my eyes closed. And it's always dark when you got your eyes closed, ain't it? She's not telling me or my wife something we don't know. But she's communicating to her, to my wife, I sleep next to the wall, that she's, not that it's dark, but that she's afraid in the dark. No need to be afraid of the dark. You know, when I was a kid, I wasn't afraid of the dark. I wasn't afraid that the blackness of the dark was going to do anything to me. But what had me scared was my imagination of what might be in that dark. But I can remember as a kid that in a dimly lit room with a nightlight, a lot of times that didn't solve anything, did it? Because it casted long shadows. And it made a clump of clothes in the corner that looked like a big old panther or something else. You remember that being as a kid? Sometimes you'd close your eyes, but you were in total darkness. Just because, so you couldn't see what you could see in the dimly lit room. You know, unfortunately, there's a lot of people that stumble around in pitch blackness. And they come to a dimly lit room, as it were, and it's as close as they want to get to God. But there's a lot of things to be feared in that dimly lit room. But I'm thankful that when the Lord comes in, those seven, as it were, those seven candlesticks begin to illuminate a room. The shadows have to flee. And that clump of clothes in the corner that looked like a panther, there's nothing more than a clump of clothes. You know, there's a lot of Christians today afraid of this and afraid of that, and it's because they've got away from that light. Because they can't see things as plainly as the Holy Spirit would show them if they would just open up their heart and let it wash them clean. If they would just let the Holy Spirit illuminate their life, as the Lord would have them to. For this is why He gave us an endless supply. And no need, as it were, to sit around the table and turn the old lamp low. But we can turn it up in order that others might see it and might come and sit at our table and not be afraid of any shadow lurking in their life, but know that God's light is powerful and is mighty. His Holy Spirit can conquer all, can
make mountains, as it were, plains. If we had but trusted Him. Are you proud of your golden candlestick? You know, I've heard people talk about it. They won't talk about it until you ask them to come to church or whatever, and they'll begin to brag on their golden candlestick. And that it's got, as it were, seven pipes from this big old oil chamber. And it's beautiful, and it's polished, and it's pretty. You ought to just take it out in the sun and see how the sun glistens off of the gold that it's made of. But it's worthless. As the instrument in which it was created, for it's empty. Might that not be said of me or you? Might we realize that it is not by might nor by power, but by God's Spirit. You know, sometimes I think we think if this and this would happen, things would change. We live in a culture today that it's truly going to take the Holy Spirit shining its light into the lives of so many before they begin to understand the ways of God. It almost, so many of the precious things in God's Word sound almost like a cliche anymore because so many people are running around and saying them. And we've got politicians using all the right words, but they don't have the meaning that we would understand them to have. But they think that somehow by using all the right words they might deceive us and thinking that they are something other than they are. But listen, this is what's nice about a candlestick filled with the Spirit of the Lord. It shines a light. I've been told, I can't really recall. Well, yeah, I do. I do remember. I used to work nights there at work. I don't know what they ate. There wasn't much to eat there, but we had cockroaches there at work. And I could remember going in the bathroom and turning on the light and then scurrying. They just run everywhere. And they was coming up out of the drain. We had a floor drain, or at least that's where they'd run to. And I'd even see them crawling up out of there. And they'd run, and they'd go run in stalls. Well, late at night, it was in the morning, 2 or 3 in the morning, I'd turn that light on when I used to run the wire machines. Ever so often, I'd just go in there to go on a cockroach-killing spree. Flip the light on there, they'd be running, I'd be stomping them, they'd pop. I'd stomp them, and they'd run into the stalls because the door would block that light, and they thought somehow they could be safe. Well, I'd throw that open, and the light would run in there, and off they'd run. And I'd kill 12 or more at one time. But you know, in the darkness, if cockroaches could talk, they might deceive you and who they are. And they might talk to you and use all the right words, but you turn the light on. Not only will you see them for who they are, but they'll run from that light. There are so many people that go to church today that are being deceived by so many people using the right words, as it were, because they live in darkness. Because they've not taken God's Word and used it as a lamp unto their feet and a light unto their path. And just like an elderly man that I know of, man that would attend church on a regular basis. And I don't know how faithful he was at reading his Bible, but you know what? If you go to church and you have a pastor or a preacher that quotes from the Bible, you listen to him often enough, and you too can quote from the Bible, though you're not quoting from the Bible, you're quoting your preacher. But you quit attending church, and you don't read your Bible regularly, and you'll start quoting things, and you'll get it all muddled up. And if you don't go back to your Bible, before long, you'll be quoting yourself and what you think the Bible says that really has nothing to do with anything that you're applying it with. I heard a man, I don't know how we got on the subject, we've used this example for many a time, about a man telling me that the Bible says that a preacher, I believe it says bishop, is to be the husband of one wife. Therefore, women shouldn't be able to preach, because how can a woman be a husband of one wife? You know, that we might discuss that and argue or debate whether that's a secondary or maybe even a third understanding of that scripture. But I've had more than one person, when we discuss that, talk about that, when that's not the primary meaning at all in that scripture. It's that a man, a preacher, as well as anybody else, but in this particular instance, a preacher, is to be a husband of one wife. Some could argue maybe one at a time. I've often thought about traveling around and introducing my wife as my first wife, just so that I could kind of keep the options open. Wonder how people would react. I'm Darrell, and this is my first wife, Michelle. What are they act like? They probably think, what on earth? That's the way a lot of people's lived their life, ain't it? I had a man say, well, that means one at a time. But you know, one could argue that verse is talking against women preachers. But see how you'd miss the forest for the trees. I told that to a man. I said, well, you know, we was talking, we was out of state, and I said, you know, that might be the case. I said, but I don't reckon that's the problem in Free Will Baptist churches, because I don't know of a woman preacher one that's in a Free Will Baptist church. I said, but we sure do know there's a pile of them preachers double married. And he changed the subject. See, I didn't agree and say disagree or agree either one on whether there's women preachers or not, because see, that's not what that verse was talking about. You know, there's other verses we could discuss about that issue. Sometimes we just get some crazy notion in our head, and we'll use a verse and we'll apply it here when it ought to have been applied over there. That's why the Bible says to rightly divide the word of truth.
Right.
And when we stand before God, if I would be so foolish as to not only have my first wife, Michelle, but my second or third wife down the road, and stand before God, and him begin to tell me what his holy word says, and me say, wait a minute, I thought that was against women preachers. How foolish would I have been? How do we read his word in a well-lit room? Where do we find that light? His Holy Spirit. We thank you for your attention. We'd ask that every one of you would pray for me and my family. By the way, I have no intentions of finding a second wife. You know why? Because the Bible says, not because the Bible don't know. Well, boy, I better be careful. This ain't why I'm not looking for a second wife, because I can't have one. I'm fully content with the one I've got. But you know, there's some peace in knowing your boundaries, isn't there? People wish and want and hope for things that they don't even, and they're not even permitted to have. And they get dissatisfied, and then they say, well, yeah, I know I shouldn't have them. Well, listen to me. If you're wanting to lose weight, number one, you probably shouldn't be at, what's that place that everybody likes to go up there to, not Perkins, what's it called?
Rides,
yeah. Number one, if you're wanting to lose weight, you probably don't want to go to an all-you-can-eat buffet. But if, let's say for whatever reason you're drugged there by somebody, you want to stay away from sweets, you know what you do? You stay away from sweets. That means you stay away from that table. I can remember when I was on that low-carb diet. But I'd walk by that table and I'd look at all that stuff I couldn't have. Now, why did I do that? If I couldn't have it, I can't have it. What good does it do to look at it? Oh, but the devil would have us in our life just to walk by everything we can't have just so we can get this out of sight. So he can tell us how mean God is to us. When God himself has told us these things because he doesn't want us to harm ourselves and hurt those we love, it would do us well to stay away from them. And I'm thankful that if we have the light of His Holy Spirit in our life, we can see well enough that we'll not stumble into them. And we can be as Joseph and flee temptation.